Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Juvenile Life Without Parole and Retroactivity Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 25, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Montgomery v. Louisiana. Petitioner Montgomery was 17 years old in 1963 when he killed a deputy sheriff in Louisiana and received a mandatory sentence of life without parole. In 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Miller v. Alabama that mandatory life without parole for juvenile homicide offenders violates the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishments. Montgomery sought state collateral relief, arguing that Miller rendered his mandatory life without parole sentence illegal. The trial court denied his motion, and his application for a supervisory writ was denied by the Louisiana Supreme Court, which had previously held that Miller does not have retroactive effect in cases on state collateral review. Montgomery's case presents the U.S. Supreme Court with two questions. One, whether the court has jurisdiction to decide whether the Supreme Court of Louisiana properly refused to give retroactive effect to Miller. And two, whether Miller adopts a new substantive rule that applies retroactively on collateral review to people condemned as juveniles to die in prison. By a vote of 6-3, the Supreme Court answered both questions in the affirmative, reversing the judgment of the Louisiana Supreme Court and remanding the case. Justice Kennedy delivered the opinion of the court, in which Justice Thomas and Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined. Justice Scalia filed a dissenting opinion, in which Justices Thomas and Alito joined. Justice Thomas also filed a dissenting opinion. To discuss the case, we have Zachary Bolitho, who is Assistant Professor at Campbell University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Bolitho.
The court's decision in Montgomery is an important ruling that will likely impact thousands of cases throughout the country. Montgomery is the most recent ruling in the Supreme Court's ongoing efforts to reform the sentencing of juvenile offenders across the United States. That effort began in earnest when the Supreme Court ruled in 2005 that the Eighth Amendment prohibited sentencing juvenile offenders to death. In 2010, the court ruled that juvenile offenders could not be sentenced to life without parole for non-homicide offenses. And then in 2012, the court ruled in Miller v. Alabama that the Eighth Amendment prohibited states from imposing mandatory life without parole sentences for juvenile offenders who were convicted of murder. Under Miller, a court could not sentence a juvenile murder defendant to life without parole without first considering the defendant's age, maturity, and other related factors. Immediately following Miller, the lower courts began to confront a question of scope. Did Miller only apply prospectively, or did it apply retroactively to cases that had been decided and rendered final years earlier? The lower courts were divided on that question, and the Supreme Court agreed to answer it in Montgomery v. Louisiana. Although the petitioner only sought certiorari on the retroactivity question, the court added a second question to the case, that being whether the Supreme Court had jurisdiction to review the Louisiana state court's holding that Miller was not retroactive. In a 6-3 decision authored by Justice Kennedy, the Supreme Court held that, one, it had jurisdiction to review the Louisiana court decision, and two, Miller was a so-called substantive rule of constitutional law that applied retroactively to cases on collateral review. Justice Scalia dissented in an opinion joined by Justices Thomas and Alito. Justice Thomas also authored a separate dissent focusing on the jurisdictional question. Before getting into legal issues, I'd like to briefly mention the facts. In 1963, at the age of 17, Henry Montgomery murdered a sheriff's deputy in East Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Montgomery was convicted as an adult and sentenced to life without parole. The life without parole sentence was mandatory under Louisiana law. Montgomery is now 69 years old, and he remains incarcerated in the Louisiana state prison system. Following the Supreme Court's 2012 decision in Miller, Montgomery filed a petition in Louisiana state court seeking collateral review of his sentence under a provision of Louisiana law that permitted inmates to seek the correction of an illegal sentence. Louisiana law recognized that an illegal sentence would include one that was imposed in violation of the Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Montgomery argued that his life without parole sentence was rendered unconstitutional by Miller. The Louisiana courts rejected his argument on the ground that Miller did not apply retroactively to cases on collateral review. The Supreme Court agreed to hear Montgomery's case, and as previously mentioned, after granting the cert petition on the issue of retroactivity, the court added the jurisdictional question. As to the jurisdictional question, an amicus was appointed by the court to argue that question, and the amicus argued that because Louisiana had created the collateral review proceedings and administered those proceedings under its own state rules, the state courts had the ability to decide for themselves what is and is not retroactive. In other words, the argument was that the U.S. Constitution does not require a state court to apply U.S. Supreme Court decisions retroactively in the state's own collateral review proceedings. To resolve that question, the Supreme Court had to determine the status of its 1989 decision in Teague versus Lane. In Teague, the court established the framework for determining retroactivity in federal habeas cases. The court held that Supreme Court decisions announcing new rules applied retroactively if the rule is a substantive rule of constitutional law or a watershed rule of criminal procedure. Regular non-watershed rules of criminal procedures do not apply retroactively. According to the majority in Montgomery, if a decision announces a substantive rule under Teague, then the U.S. Constitution requires the state courts to give that rule retroactive effect. In other words, the court in Montgomery constitutionalized the substantive rule aspect of Teague versus Lane. The court explained that if the Supreme Court has held that a particular punishment is beyond the state's power to impose, then the sentence is void and unlawful for all defendants, including those whose convictions have become final and who have petitioned for collateral review in state court. In the words of the majority, there is no grandfather clause that permits a state to impose an unconstitutional sentence. In a portion of the opinion that could prove critical in the months and years to come, the court stressed that if a state collateral review proceeding is open to a claim controlled by federal law, then the state court has a duty to grant the relief federal law requires. I'll address later why that is going to be a particularly important part of the opinion in the years to come. After determining that it had jurisdiction because Teague versus Lane was a constitutional ruling that the state Supreme Court was required to follow, the court turned its attention to the merits question, whether Miller applies retroactively. In other words, where does Miller fit within the Teague dichotomy? Was it substantive and therefore retroactive, or procedural and therefore not retroactive? The majority answered that Miller was substantive. And a rule is substantive under Teague if it categorically forbids a certain class of punishment from being imposed on defendants because of their status or the particular offense. In this case, the court believed that Miller was substantive because it rendered mandatory life without parole unconstitutional for all juvenile offenders. The court explained that children are different when it comes to punishment, and as a class, children cannot receive life without parole unless there is a sentencing hearing, at which time the court considers age, maturity, and other factors. In a portion of the opinion that some, including the dissenters, believe expanded Miller, the court explained that even under Miller, only the rarest of juvenile offenders should receive life without parole. So in other words, even if the court has a hearing to determine whether or not a juvenile offender is eligible for life without parole, the court said it should only impose life without parole in the very rare circumstance where there's evidence that the defendant is permanently incorrigible and not likely to be rehabilitated. Although there is a procedural component to Miller, meaning that juvenile defendants can only receive life without parole if a certain procedure is followed, that being the new sentencing hearing, the majority said that Miller remained substantive under Teague because a substantive rule of constitutional law does not become procedural simply because the enforcement of the substantive rule requires a specific process. In an effort to assuage the states who claim that requiring thousands of resentencing hearings of offenders who were convicted decades ago would overwhelm the system and be impossible to administer, The court explained that there was a simple solution. The simple solution was that the states could simply make all of their life without parole juvenile offenders eligible for parole. And if they made those individuals eligible for parole, it would eliminate the Miller problem. In what turned out to be one of his last dissenting opinions, Justice Scalia forcefully dissented from the majority's opinion in Montgomery, and he did so in classic Scalia form. Now, Justice Scalia argued that there was no jurisdiction for the Supreme Court to hear the case because this Teague was not a constitutional ruling and was instead a ruling simply about the scope of federal habeas relief that did not require the states to give retroactive effect to any rulings. Justice Scalia also argued that Miller is not retroactive because it was a procedural ruling, which was evidenced by the fact that Miller mandated a procedure, and if that procedure was followed, life without parole could still be imposed on juvenile offenders. Finally, Justice Thomas dissented on the jurisdictional question, and he reiterated that the state can avoid having the Supreme Court review their decisions refusing to apply new rules retroactively by simply closing their state post-conviction doors to claims based on the U.S. Constitution. Louisiana currently allows defendants to raise Eighth Amendment claims in their post-conviction state proceedings. And Justice Thomas said, we can eliminate the possibility of U.S. Supreme Court review in those circumstances by simply having the states close their doors to those federal claims. Thousands of inmates will potentially be affected by the court's ruling in Montgomery versus Louisiana, and it will be interesting to see how the states apply it. Will the states simply grant all juveniles life without parole, as Justice Kennedy indicated in his majority opinion, or will the states go down the route of having new sentencing hearings for all of those defendants? Will the states take Justice Thomas's suggestion to close their state post-conviction hearings from federal claims? Only time will tell, and it will certainly be interesting to see where this issue goes in the future.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.